God bless you, saints. Good to be with you. I'm kind of excited about the subject matter tonight because it just proves that. Oops, wrong. What happened here? Oh, we've been told. There we go. That's the name of the subject tonight. I'm going to be reading a lot of quotes to you and a lot of different material because we're, as has already been stated, we all know we're at a changing times. And everybody knows it. The newscasters know it. Everybody knows it. That America, as she was, ain't going to be no more. The difference is the world is stumbling along, kind of wondering what's happening. And we've already been foretold. And so we know what the root cause is. Everybody says it's Obama, but it's really not Obama at all. He just happens to be the man through whom the prophecies are being fulfilled. And so we watch what's going on, but nevertheless, the statistics are shocking. And as we get into the subject matter, and I'll read quite a few quotes from Brother Branham also, and the Brother Branham named some of the terrible things that are going to be happening in this age, and he says, I hope I'm alive to see it. And he wasn't talking about tribulation. He was talking about all the things collapsing in. And so he said, because he says, I know it's close, and I hope I live to see it. So here we are seeing it. Now, we don't know whether this is going to continue to go bottom down or there'll be a little alleviation and then another cycle down. We don't know those things, but we do know that it's all indicative of what's on its way. And it's not going to stop. America is not going to repent. Everybody's using those quotes. If those who are called by my name will call upon me and repent, that I'll bless their nation. They're all using that, but it's too late. It's not going to work. And it's a scripture, it's a promise, and there's a time for it, but this is not the time. It's not going to work. So no matter how much the nation repents or turns, it's not going to happen because she's gone over the hump. And the prophet said, I don't even pray for her anymore. She's finished. And so we have to face facts for what they are. And as Americans, you lament over that. You hate to hear that. You'd like to hope there's some hope for the nation. No hope because she's rejected God. So I want to read some scriptures to open up with, and then we'll go into quite a few PowerPoints and read a lot together. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. I always feel like I have to touch on some of these things that the old-timers know full well, but I don't want to leave out some of the new-timers also. So if you don't mind, stand for the reading of the Word, and we're going to read in two different books, Revelation and then Zechariah. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So when you see that, the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, your mind can go two ways, either immediately back to the seven candlesticks in the holy place in the old tabernacle, that's representing this, the seven lamps of fire, or you can think of Brother Branham's drawing in the seven church ages and those seven stars and the illumination in them, because that's the way Brother Branham depicted it, because that's the lamps of fire burning before God. And then it tells us what they are in chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. It says, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So the seven eyes represent seven equivalents of prophets or seers or visions, the ones who can see. And so it represents the messengers to the ages. We only had one literal prophet, or two really, Paul and Brother Branham, two literal prophets, but still they're represented because they were the ones that brought the word to the age. So they become the eyes of God. Seeing, and we won't go into any more depth on that. Zechariah chapter 3. I got a new Bible and my pages are sticking together. Zechariah chapter 3, we'll pick up at verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, that's Christ. For behold, the stone which I have laid before Joshua upon one stone, that's Christ again, shall be seven eyes. And behold, I will engrave in the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. and then goes on into that land. So again, we find that the seven eyes on the Lamb are the seven spirits, and the seven eyes on the branch, which is Christ, is those same thing. That's the anointing on the seven church age messengers. And then now over to chapter 4, verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Now, Zerubbabel was the governor when they came out with Ezra and Nehemiah overseeing the rebuilding of the temple. So consequently, he types Christ, who's overseeing the building of his temple, which is us. So there's a parallel there. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation thereof. And of course, Christ is he that hath begun the good work in you will not finish it. He started it in us. And his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. The plummet, now, that's like a plumb bob. And you see when something's square, you know, you got a weight on the end of a string and you check a window or curtains or something to see it straight. And of course, it's the Word of God that checks whether we're straight or not. So the plummet that's in the hand of Zerubbabel, that's actually the Word of God in Christ. And they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. You may be seated. So therefore, we see the significance of the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which are the measure of the anointing of Christ that was on each church age messenger. So when we read about the Laodicean church age and we find Christ on the outside of the church, and church nominal says we haven't rejected Jesus, no, but they rejected Christ in the measure that he came in our age. Are you with me? So therefore, it isn't some little significant. They say, oh, you guys are following a man. No, we received Christ. Are you with me? It's not because we received William Branham, it's because we recognize what God was doing through that ministry. And so it's not that William Branham is Christ, it's that which we saw through him was Christ. And so to receive that is to receive Christ, to reject that is to reject Christ. And that's why this message is so significant. Brother Branham said in the tape New Wine, he says, there is no life outside this message. Now, we know that some of the people have left this church because we sound exclusive, but the Word of God is exclusive. In that what God is doing, when he's doing it, that's where the life is. And that's where the elect lady is. She walks in the light as he is in the light. And then it is that walking in that light that puts us in the light as he is in the light, which gives us cleansing from the blood, which is the very thing that puts the bride in a rapture and sends the foolish virgin into the tribulation because she hasn't received the fullness of redemption or the fullness of washing. So therefore, her name is still in the book of life. Because the book of life, if you remember now, that's where you and all your errors are listed. But when you're born again, your name with all the errors under it is removed from the book of life. And the only place your name is listed is in the Lamb's book of life, which in your name listed there shows you as God saw you before the foundation of the world when he created you in his great thinking. So therefore, that group is perfect. Are we together? Okay, so we're moving along. I've got a lot of material to cover, so I want to keep going here. Now, so America rejected a man, and so therefore there's a penalty to pay. And if you were to go into Judges chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, you continually see that it says, and the tribe of Zebulun refused to drive out, and the tribe of Judah refused to drive out, and they all failed to drive out the inhabitants of the land, which they were commanded to do. And God sent a prophet and said, why aren't you keeping my commandments? I told you to drive those people out. Their gods are going to be a thorn in your flesh and stickers in your eyes. Get rid of those guys. But they didn't do it. So then finally God says, all right, I'm not going to drive out one person from before you anymore. I'm going to let your enemy overtake you because you refuse to keep my commandments. So that's where America is today. We've been blessed, 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 and re-blessed, but still rejected what God has done and turned to our own ways so many times that God says, America, forget it. I'm not going to help you anymore. You're on your own. And of course, for a sheep to be on his own means he's going to be lost because we all need shepherds. Absolutely. But as you remember what happened with Saul when he refused to obey the Lord, it says an evil spirit from the Lord came upon him. And Brother Branham says, he said he wouldn't follow the Holy Spirit, so God gave him an evil spirit because he says, you must be led, you're a sheep. So if you won't follow the Holy Spirit, then some other spirit's going to come and take over. Now keep that in mind. Some other spirit's going to come and take over. You'll see what that is in a moment as we go on. Now, believe it or not, there's been more deaths in our century, last one and this one, than in all the previous centuries combined. 135 million under communism alone. Isn't that something? 135 million. And if we include abortions, it takes it up to 500 million of innocent people killed. So therefore, we think we're living in a civilization, but it's been the most deadly. But why would it be the most deadly? Because the primary root cause is the thought process of Darwinianism, which makes us just an advanced level of animal life. And so you kill chickens, you kill cows, you kill people, big deal. It's all in the same category. Whereas in Christianity, we're in the image of God, and we want to respect mankind that's made in the image of God. But communism rejects God, so therefore the Darwinian animalistic thinking comes up, so it's no big deal to kill people. They're just advanced animals. Are we thinking together now? So we see which is what's warping their thinking. Now, as we watch, I'm just throwing out points here, and we'll touch on it more in a little bit later. As I read the news, I find all the favoritism that our president is giving to the unions. And people holler and scream and squawk about it, but he has to, because unions must become strong, because they have to be strong to bring on the mark of the beast one of these days. That you can't buy or sell or have a job without belonging to the system. So I'll get back more into that in a minute, but we watch it coming on. So there it is. And so the news commentators are talking about it. I'll go into it more in a moment, but still, they don't understand why he's going that way. They say he's repaying them for the amount of money that they poured into supporting him. Well, in his mind, that may be what it is, but we know what it is because it's setting the scene for something God is going to do. Now, all the economic commentators say that the 29 crash is going to come all over again, multiplied. And Brother Branham told us that. He says that what we've got coming is going to look like the 29 crash, look like child's play. So therefore, what's coming is just going to be enormous. And so consequently, we have to get a mindset for it and not lamenting it is going to happen. Whether it'll follow immediately, I have no idea. I don't know how quick it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And so, therefore, our inflation of our currency, which can't help but happen with the way we're just printing money, and there's a reason for all that. Don't want to go into that. But the printing money has to end up in inflation. But they say because America is still called a strong nation, they don't expect it'll have the runaway inflation that Germany had with their 1,000% a year kind of inflations where they were wheeling around wheelbarrow fulls of dollars and they meant nothing, their Deutschmarks, and it meant nothing. But they do figure that ours could run as much as 100% over a couple year period and then do that again and do that again. So it's not thousands, but hundreds, but it's still bad. So there's things we've got to just keep in mind. Now, the reason that, of course, to review with you that might not understand quickly, the reason that America is in the condition she was in is because God sent a fantastic message of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street in 1906, and a jubilee year is every 50 years, so in 1956, America hit a jubilee. And so, therefore, in 1956, hitting their jubilee year, this is where you either choose to take your freedom or remain in bondage. We know the Old Testament story. But America chose to remain in bondage. She refused the gospel ministry that could set her free that God had sent, as the many big-name preachers of that era swept back and forth across the United States in 1956. Brother Branham had predicted that America would reject the gospel in 1957 in Chicago. He said, "It's thus saith the Lord, America has rejected the gospel." He says, "Watch her go down as a world power from this point on. And we'll never again win another major war." And we haven't. We've compromised and compromised, but we've never won another war outright since that time. And so we won't win in Afghanistan. We won't win in Iraq because of no blessing of God. I don't know what kind of compromise will come there. I have no idea. But we won't have an absolute victory. Just won't. When the Communist Party was looking at America and wanting to consume her, they said, "America has three strengths that we must destroy. They said the Americans' three strengths are patriotism, morality, and spirituality. And so we said we must attack those fronts. Now, Lenin wanted to come in and do it militarily. I think I may have my names mixed up on that one. And I think it was Saul Alinsky, who was the next writer of communist stuff, that he says, no, let's do it from the inside. We can tear down America down from the inside. And when you listen to Brother Branham's quotes, you'll see what he's saying without tying it to communist agenda, but yet he says we're rotting from the inside out. Exactly what communism says, we're going to do that. It says we're going to infiltrate the schools, we're going to infiltrate the churches, and we're going to alter history in the eyes of the people to destroy their patriotism. And that's everywhere around us. We're being fed that diet continually. And of course, the poor college kids, they're swamped with it and don't even know the difference. So the communists saw the three strengths, patriotism, morality, and spirituality. And I think I told you once before that they were interviewing the Japanese general who was in charge when they attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th. And they says, why didn't you come on and take America on while you had caught us off guard? And he says, I had read that almost every American household had guns and we didn't want to face that. Isn't that interesting? But now we're right at the opposite place where they're wanting to do a takeover, so you can rest. They're going to take the guns away. So it's all moving in a direction. We watch what's creeping in on us from communism, and Venezuela, El Salvador, Cuba, Nicaragua are all under communist influence, so it's creeping up. But the thing of it is, in each one of those, there's also a strong Catholic influence. And so we know that the final world power is not communism, is not Islam, it's Romanism. So consequently, somewhere behind the scenes, we know that Rome is pulling the strings. And so when she's gaining power, but she already proved what she did with South Vietnam and North Vietnam, that she'll negotiate with whoever she thinks is going to win to gain something power for her. While she had lured America into the war in South Vietnam, I've told you about that story, that it was the church influence, Catholic church influence, that got us into the Vietnam War. And then when it looked like we weren't going to come out completely on top, quietly she went around and made arrangements with the chief guy in North Korea so that when the whole thing settled out, she still came out okay. So she works with whoever's going to win. She's a deceiver and good at it, very, very good at it. Now, I've got a tremendous amount of stuff here from starting from Communist Party stuff going on up, but I don't think I'll have time to get into all of it, so I'm going to start on our slides here. And so we have been told that this was coming, and this, of course, is the demise of America. But the things that are involved was also told us in the message. So our first subject is communism. And you'll be surprised how much Brother Branham says on this subject, but I want you to see a lot of what he says, because I hope I can build your interest in what a prophet said, because he's foretold us these things and what to do about it. It's all laying there in the message that God has given us, but it'll do us no good if we don't get in there and find out. And if you're just gonna depend on the preacher to bring it to you, you're gonna miss a lot, because we can't bring it all to you. You need to be digging into those things and find out what's been said. But I learned some things myself as I went through here, of things that I had read over, and they didn't really sink into me until this time. So resurrection of Lazarus, and I've got some of these in date sequence so you can see the understanding going. It's a shame the way our nation is, the people is polluting the nation. There, someone said, Brother Branham, do you think that the communists will ever sweep over America and take America? He says, no, sir, I don't believe it. It isn't communists that's going to hurt us. It's our own rottenness right among us is what is hurting us. Skipped a little print. And our own demoralization that we got among us now, our women smoking, drinking whiskey, and the bar rooms and things filled at night, cussing and carrying on, that's what's killing us. These churches around here having a form of godliness, denying the power of, that's what's killing us. Amen. That's exactly right. So there we're back in November 53. I said, cut out all this vulgarity on television and all this kind of stuff like that, and get that communist spirit to start moving. He means moving away from you, and it'll move. But as long as the kids have got it in them, drilled in them, see it at home, see it in their fathers and mothers, and walk down school and act impudent and everything like that, how can one church do it? Now, notice how he's tying first communism, he's saying, is a spirit, so you want to remember that. So communism is a spirit, but notice he ties it to acting, letting children kind of act any way they want to, and he ties that to picking up the communist spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I can sure tie that to places like Berkeley, college in Berkeley in California, and that kind of stuff, because the attitudes of the kids there shows that a lot of their child training wasn't much. And yet they're very open to these kind of things. So Brother Branham put his finger on that it's a spirit, and we open up to it without leading a disciplined life. So that's the quote. Excuse me, this is where I left off. I messed up my clicking here. Okay, next quote. Communism is a spirit, and not just a nation, it's a spirit. And that spirit's what's worming into America. It's worming into the churches. It's worming into the schools. It's worming into the individual. And communism is the thing that's breaking it down. Now, here he's put the finger on what this... I'm going to show you a clip after a while on a film called Agenda. And I'll explain that to you when we're going to just show you a little clip out of it. I wrote to them and asked them if I could show more of it. And they says, no, you can only show the trailer that's available on the web. Otherwise, you'll have to buy the video. And I had the video, but it's not for public presentation without some kind of special permission. And so what Brother Branham is saying right here is exactly what this man discovered was the communist agenda and how that they're infiltrating doing this. But you have to remember that when a prophet says it's happening in the tape, what is it? Who is the prophet or what is the prophet? Brother Branham says the prophet sees it in seed form, but to him, it's already there. And so what he's preaching is if this is happening and that's happening, he saw the seed of it, but he didn't to us totally put his finger on, well, this is all communism, but yet in a way he did. And so we watch it going back and forth here, and yet the Communist Party was doing that underground, and the prophet was picking up on it. Watch those high-headed, haughty Americans, and you see whether communism has got them or not. Why they're rooted as deep as Russia is right now. That's right. That's 1954. So it is a spirit. See, I underlined that up there. To me, that's important to understand. It's not a political thing. It's not a national thing. It's a spirit. People get under the spirit of communism. So that kind of changes the whole picture. Remember, Brother Branham says that communism was a tool that God uses to punish a God-rejecting people. And so consequently, then he allows that spirit to be loosed on the people. But how are they open to it? He already told us. He says, watching all this television, not controlling your kids, setting improper things in front of your kids, and not conducting yourself in a Christian way, opens yourself up, of all things, to a communist spirit. Why? Because that's the spirit of judgment in this age. I'm always hesitant. Sometimes, oh, there we go. It's the lines that I'd put on there. I forgot. And communism is the thing that's breaking it down. I forgot that I was watching those lines. They didn't pop up on my screen. Okay, now we're still in 54. No wonder Russia accepted communism is because the root and grounding of the churches there that couldn't produce nothing that they were talking about. No wonder America is accepting communism in a roundabout way through the churches, because the church is weak and doesn't produce what Jesus Christ said it would do because of the weakness of the pulpit and the man of God that's failing to yield himself to the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christian's shallow. If he's God, he's got to do it. If he isn't God, then quit fooling with it. That's right. The time of the showdown is at hand. Prove who's God. God's doing it his own way. Questions and answers. And communism, we found out, was not no antichrist that Jesus Christ spoke of. Communism is not a nation like Russia. Communism is a spirit. America is eat up with it. And it's in the churches, it's in the people, it's in business, it's in everywhere. Communism, the spirit of it. It's in the schools, it's in the homes, it's everywhere. May 15th, 1954, June 1959, in a deceived church by the world, the communist is upon the America. So we watch what's happening and we wonder where it is, and we ourselves opened up ourselves to it. He already told us how. Now, here's what John Adams says. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, I think we know that. And so therefore, it's going to be changed. In fact, they're totally ignoring it and doing whatever they want to do. And nobody in Congress or Senate seems to have the courage to speak out against it. So they all seem to be in the same boat together, because one person breaks the Constitution, another leg of a government is supposed to correct that, but they don't. They just keep going in a direction. So it shows that America's finished. Now, this film, The Agenda, I'm going to show you a clip after I show one more slide here. The Agenda, it'll explain itself a little bit, but here's the back of the box here, and you can't read it, so I made it one more copy and enlarged it. I'd like for you to read it so you can see where this is coming from. Yeah, you probably still can't read it, but I'll read it to you. It says, when Idaho legislator Curtis Bowers wrote a letter to the editor about the drastic changes in America's culture, it became the feature story in the evening news. People protested at the Capitol, and for weeks the local newspapers were filled with responses. He realized then he had hit on something. Ask almost anyone and you'll hear communism is dead. The Berlin Wall came down. Though the word communism isn't used anymore, this film will show that the ideas behind it are alive and well. Join Bowers for a fascinating look at the people and groups that have successfully targeted America's morality and freedom in their effort to grind America down. It's well-documented agenda. And so I'd like, Brother Franco, if you don't mind, to flip the trailer that we got on there. It's not very long.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
This story really begins for me back in the summer of 1992. I got a phone call from an older gentleman I knew who was a writer, and he asked me if I'd go attend a meeting for him at the University of California, Berkeley. He told me that the Communist Party USA had recently split over differences of how to best take America down. Some were wanting to still work toward a violent revolution, while others were wanting to focus their efforts on using public policy to subvert America from the inside. He was curious what they had to say. I mean, after all, the Berlin Wall had just come down, the Soviet Union had dissolved, and the whole world was saying, communism is dead. So why were they meeting, and what were they up to? I was in graduate school at the time, and the whole idea of slipping in undercover into a communist meeting sounded pretty neat, so I decided to go.
More human beings were slaughtered in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined.
We're talking a congressional record, 135 million dead.
Their entire purpose was to detach our culture from any moral anchors whatsoever.
You look at the changes in America since 1960, perhaps, the whole culture has been transformed.
They're coming out of the belief that the village should raise the child. The village means the government.
It was 15 years later, I was appointed by the governor to be a state representative in the legislature. I'd only lived in my district for 2 years, So I thought it'd be a good idea if I wrote a monthly letter to the editor. Each month I wrote on a different topic. In January 2008, as I was contemplating what to write my letter on, I thought back to the meeting in 1992. And I thought of the goals they'd outlined and where America was today. And I couldn't believe how successful they had been.
We've come from Norman Rockwell's America to, Hugh Hefner's America.
They have deliberately destroyed the American family, understanding that's the foundational block that builds a society.
They basically try to say that the state itself is ultimate, that there's nothing, no law higher than the state, and if there's no law higher than the state, there's no appeal against it.
They're training them for the collective, and a collective mindset and a dependency mindset.
And it seems that they, again, want to have people be uneducated, so then they do become wards of the state. They're dependent on the government to provide everything for them.
They go to the places that influence, or I should say, where they can have leverage.
I thought we overcome this. I thought, okay, we won that battle. The Berlin Wall came down. Ronald Reagan won the day. We've got to look and see how he fought this, because we're fighting again on American soil. Not hostilely attacking us like we feared in the Cold War. It is from within.
They'd accomplished almost every single one of them, and nobody seemed to be noticing. For at least the last 50 years, they've been working actively behind the scenes, in the shadows, trying to move our people and our culture in a direction that was designed to destroy us.
If we lose the Judeo-Christian framework, we're lost forever.
This film will show that the brave new world they seek is nothing more than the failed policies and ideologies of the communism that enslaved over a third of the world's population during the 20th century. It will show that most people on the left aren't communist, just the useful idiots Lenin spoke of, being used to promote a socialist agenda, which is the first and necessary step toward communism.
I think this is one of the most serious threats to our country at the present time.
It will show they've done everything in their power to dumb down our children, undermine our families, rewrite our history, and promote obscenity and immorality everywhere that they can.
They look at what holds society together, they understand it, but they don't want that. They want change, and they will subvert and rot every good and decent thing we believe in, because they have a vision for a new society, and that must mean the replacement of the old society.
We, on the other side, we advance the idea that this is about the cause of freedom, and if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ, there never would have been a United States of America, because the inspiration for freedom drove our founding fathers. They were informed by their faith, and I believe guided by the hand of God.
From my investigation over the last 2 years into what has caused America's drastic decline, I'm sorry to say the left won't be able to use the ignorant card. They've left too much evidence of their agenda in their books, articles, and speeches. No, America has an enemy that is getting very close to accomplishing its plan of destroying the greatest country in all world history.
Once people figure it out, they're going to do what people everywhere do. They're going to start protesting, and they're going to start revolting. And when that happens, that's when the powers that be feel threatened, and they use the power that they have.
grinding down of America. And I've said so many times, as an American, why you hate to see it coming. But as a Bible student, it has to come. Prophecy is stronger than politics. Let's go on a little further. Lyndon, my objective in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. In the book, they have several charts, and they start building, not in the book, on the film, they start building, and they said that the real thrust, starting with the 1960s radicals and the hippie movement, that's when they were wanting to change the organization as it was. But in the film, they just start building from Karl Marx on up to the Communist Party USA, and then the bottom there's a Fabian socialist. That was what came out of the communist movement, but in England, and then Antonio Gramsci, and he was the one that started the primary movement of infiltrating the churches, destroying the church, and then the Frankfurt School, out of which came primarily the feminist movement, and how they pushed the feminist movement to try and gain power for the women, and through the women to just start totally altering the country, and through the women to just start destroying the morals of the country. Exactly what Brother Branham said was going to happen. And so here, when you look at it, and I won't take the time to go into it and point out a lot of things, but it's just astounding what this guy discovered, and he just traced it step by step. But this is the interesting one. When he takes all the major movements and then brings them to where are they active today, it points right to the White House, every one of them. The primary spiritual advisor to our president is he's a pastor, but he's also a card-holding member of the Communist Party. And so we see the influence that's going on all around us. So, next subject, shifting our focus now to finance. So as we move our focus to finance, the statue of a perfect man, Brother Branham says, see how the deceit, what they're trying to do, give money away to buy. Why? They're trying to break it. They're going to do it, and she's broke. Now notice, 1962, he was already telling it, but how long did it take for America to wake up? And what is it? It's on the gold standard, and the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, owns the gold of the world. And $168 billion at that time was quite a bit more now. There you are. Throw her right back on the gold standard, and you people just keep your homes and things, but you belong to the Catholic Church. The nation belongs to the Catholic Church. The whole thing is captured right in like that. When I saw Brother Branham, and in one place he says she'll pay off the American debt, and in watching how the finances work, I don't know whether I've seen it already or not, I don't know. America, when they want more money, they sell U.S. bonds, and then they have an auction for bonds. And in the past, China and some of those other countries would be the primary purchasers of our bonds. And now they know the American dollar is weak, and they're not purchasing bonds anymore. So just a few little people here and there, a few banks and stuff to be loyal, are purchasing. But there's another one. I think, if I may have the name wrong, but I think it was a new name popped up on the purchaser of bonds, and it's buying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bonds called the household. And nobody really knows what the household is. And they think the newscasters and finance men are speculating that it's the Federal Reserve themselves buying the bonds back to keep the value up, that somebody's buying them. So it's kind of like an artificial thing. But yet, as I study what Brother Branham said, he says the Catholic Church will buy up the bonds and then demand that they're paid off in gold, and he says it'll bust the whole thing. So the buying of bonds, is U.S. Treasury bonds, is the way that it's going. But also, in studying what's going on in the financial market, America wants to keep the dollar strong. So consequently, they're doing everything in their power to, dollar in circulation. So they're doing everything in their power to keep people from getting the dollars out of circulation, like into precious metals and things like that. And I'll read something to you on that in a moment. It's very interesting. So the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, owns the gold of the world. And we'll find that repeated over and over. 1963, the Catholic Church owns the wealth of the world. She's got the money. She's got the gold to buy our bonds back again. That's exactly, and you'd think that these whiskey dealers, tobacco dealers, and great people of the country won't sell out to keep from losing all their business and counterfeiting the currency. They'll go right back and take that money from the Catholic Church, and then she's sold. Right. Don't the Bible predict that? The wealth of the world. You watch and you see if that isn't right. I hope that you'll live to, I hope we all live to see it. And I don't think we'll have too long to live. That's one I was referring to before. So again, the Catholic Church owns the gold of the world. He emphasizes that over and over. She's got the money. 1963, June. The nation is broke. Where's it at? Who has got the money? We haven't got it. Our bonds are no good. But only the financial world's only now stating that our bonds are no good. Only just in the last couple of years. But here he was in 1963 telling us. Our bonds are no good. We've got to have gold. Who's got it? Catholic Church. What will they do before those whiskey men and all those great holders and stockholders will ever give it up? They will absolutely sell out, and the church will loan the nation the money. And what it will do, it'll sell its birthrights right straight into Catholicism. Then what are you going to do? That's the gold of the world, them and the Jews, and that's the covenant that he makes with Israel. Some of you may have seen it. There was a video shot on the parliament floor in England on one of the British parliament standing there, and I'll just make it brief. He says, I cannot tell you who's communicating with me. He says, I'll call it, I think he said Corporation X. He says, Corporation X, he says, has offered to pay off entirely the debt of Britain, and they'll do it with gold. But he says their one contention is that condition is that they must speak with the top five people in government who have the power to make things happen and can get along or make agreements, whatever, top five people. And the whole parliament said, nonsense, nobody's going to do that, and they wouldn't even believe it. So the whole thing came to naught. But I thought, quite interesting, who was Corporation X? Church Age Book. Furthermore, the elect will not only be kept, but as this move becomes the image erected to the beast, the saints will be gone in the rapture. I had to include this in here to take a little pressure off of you. The saints will be gone in the rapture. In this little delightful, winsome movement that started out in fellowship at Ephesus, remember the Nicolaitan spirit, will become the monster of Satan that defiles and deceives the whole world. For the church system of the Roman Catholic and the Protestant is coming together and will control the whole wealth of the whole world and force the whole earth into its religious trap, or will kill them by refusing them the privilege of buying and selling, whereby they would make a living. This will be accomplished simply for the harlot's daughters are all but gone back to her. In the meantime, Rome has acquired nearly all the supplies of gold, and the Jews have the bonds and all the paper. And at the right time, the harlot will destroy the present-day money system. What's that? By calling in all the paper and demanding gold. With no gold, the system falls. The Jews will be trapped and come into the alliance, and the harlot church will take over the whole world. So we have the word on it. What's going to happen? Our timing, we don't know. But it's going to happen. It's like the California earthquake. Exactly when it's going to happen. Don't know, but it's going to happen. So we've got this, saith the Lord, on these subjects. I've got some stuff I want to read to you. Oops, excuse me. Let me back up. I missed that. And we'll take over the whole world. Yeah, besides that. So the unions, is it okay to belong? It says, you men, you have labor unions and things, and if you want to work, you have to belong to it. That's exactly right. You have to do that. But watch it, see, because it's going to come from labor to religion one of these days, see. Now, you just remember, it's a forerunner of everything that's becoming unionized. You can't work. They won't let you on the job. You're a scab unless you belong to the union. Watch it. It's a warning. Well, I ran across two other little things on unions. I thought I would read those to you. Here it is. They're expecting a 40% federal excise tax on health insurance, which costs the individual more than $8,500 per year. And that will force most employers to drop such coverage in favor of minimalist cookie-cutter programs. They say they're calling it the Cadillac insurance. So the government's going to tack a 40% excise tax on that to force them back into the government system. Now, listen to the end of the article. Tellingly, the current health care legislation carves out one exception to punishing the people with this plan because it's too generous. That's the unionized workers. They're not subject to that penalty. Read from the financial newsletter. All right, I'll do that. Just want to read a few things to you. One question that's written here, it says, how does Mr. Obama expect America to compete with China and India when we abandon the principle of individual merit and elevate skin color and sex above performance? Which, of course, is exactly what he's done. As of January 1st, 2010, over 40,000 new laws came into effect. Brother Steve Hollinger was telling me that Ford called him and asked him if he wanted to come back to work for a while, and they said, how long? And they said, about 6 months. And they says, my goodness, what's going on that you need me for 6 months? He says, the person that's doing your job has so many forms and so much paperwork to do for the government that it's going to take them at least 6 months to just catch up, and we need somebody to take over her slot. Here it is, 40,000 new laws. Talk about trying to strangle the workforce, strangle the employment. The latest monthly contraction in the labor force is 661,000. If you count the Americans that are dropped from the official count that month because they have given up looking for work. Yet the economy must generate 100,000 new jobs a month just to stay even. The current real unadulterated unemployment rate for America is 17.3%. And the shadow pegs it. There's a website called shadowstats.com, and they try to watch and tell you what the real figures are. And they say, no, it's not even that. It's 22% unemployment in America. Here's the other one on the union. The Government Office of National Labor Relations Board, which has no authority to put out legal things, has done it anyway, and they're demanding that the little small mom and pop shops and that small businesses post these posters, and they'll be fined if they don't post the posters that tell them that they may be visited by a union sometime soon, and that the people, the union wants to come and see them at home individually. This is to either talk them into or intimidate them into trying to get all small business under the union umbrella. And they've been given the authority to penalize if you don't do it, which normally only Congress can pass that kind of law. But here the National Labor Relations Board is doing it and allowed to do it. So it says the new rule hands aggressive union organizers another weapon in so-called corporate campaigns in which they drag a business through the mud in the media with frivolous accusations about employer misconduct to try and force them into giving in to the unions. Welcome to Soviet America. Home foreclosures have been running about 300,000 a month. Home foreclosures. Therefore, the government plans are being floated for Fannie Mae to begin renting out repossessed homes, driving down rents across the board. As vacant homes pile up and a federal housing program is rolled out, national eviction guidelines could be proliferated, which undermine private landlords. Yeah, and say, you can say, well, you read it here first. So it's coming. So you can see that they're putting the squeeze on everything, even the landlords. And then they had an article in the same magazine about how many people are going overseas for for surgeries and operations because they can get the same thing over there for anywhere from 50 to 90% lower cost. I've got here somewhere some comparative figures, which I'll give you in just a second here. And I'm not trying to make this a sermon. I'm trying to get this to alert to the fact that, praise God, we've got a prophet that told us these things. Don't be surprised. But it also should alert us. Let's get in the message and be forewarned. They point out in here, it wasn't greedy lenders who created the mortgage debacle. It was the government that demanded that the banks increase homeownership by 5.5 million new minority homeowners by the year 2010. So it was the government that gave them that and forced the banks to do it. And now they're slapping them for saying you did sloppy banking, and yet they were the ones that forced them into it. Another thing they say in here, everyone should go on the web or wherever and start looking at your bank. Is your money safe? Because they said more and more banks are going to be shut down and you don't want to be trapped with a bunch of money in the bank that you can't get your hands on. So they said start watching it. We've even done that as a church. We're watching closely where we have church money, because when a bank gets weak, we don't want to lose it. We want to pull it out and put it somewhere else before it collapses. So you want to do that. And it says if you watch the news like CNBC financial reporting, this is if you watch that to see what's happened, this is we want you to know that program is financed by the stock market itself. And so you're going to hear what they want you to hear. Here's some overseas cost things that it says you can save 90% on heart surgery, 70% on knee operations, 80% you can save on dental work. A liver transplant in America is $500,000. In India, it's $40,000. Open heart surgery in America is $50,000. In India, it's $4,000. Neurosurgery, $29,000 here. India, $8,000. Knee surgery, $16,000 here. $4,000 there. So, and they said that, for example, many people are going to Israel, and they said that the Israeli gal that's in charge of such things, she says you can bring your whole family to Israel, have your surgeries done, take a nice vacation, and go back home and still be cheaper than what you did in America for the one operation. Okay, here's one now to a very few of you people, but it's very important. It says the government has methods to use to rip off holders of precious metals, especially if you own gold in the form of exchange-traded funds or other gold-backed paper instruments. A lot of people invest in gold, but they don't get their hands on the gold. They just get a piece of paper that says you own this amount of gold. We'll keep it in our safe for you. This is, but when the government begins to run short on cash, they says what they're going to do is everybody that's got paperwork, they're going to say, we're buying your gold. And they'll just send you cash for your paperwork, and you've lost it, whether it's going to go up or down. And then the other thing that they're talking about, and this may shock you, the government is talking about taking over all 401ks and packaging them in with the Social Security program to put money into the Social Security program, which is a losing proposition, and no telling what's going to happen to your 401k. So they're only talking about it. But so they're doing everything in their power to get their hands on cash, 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 cash. And they really don't care where they get it, so they're just stripping everything out. All this stuff, if you just start, keep your eyes open and look for it, it's all available. And some, if you're like me on stock market and gold investment, I haven't got any of that anyway, so I don't have to worry about it. But for those of you that do, then that's something else. And so we're in this time, we're in this squeeze. And I didn't really give this to you as a financial lesson. I did it to you to show how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Now, can I say, go just a little bit more, excuse me. Okay, Daniel writes in Rome that in the last days, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. So the scripture shows what it's going to be. And then The mark of the beast has to include guilds and unions, which we've already talked about. Romans 17:1 is the great harlot and her daughters. The woman rides the beast. Now, you remember that the great whore is sitting on the beast of Revelation 13. So the one says, never forget, the Bible has foretold us that of the final world power, it is not communism or Islam. So don't get caught up in all the media smokescreen. It's Rome. So just to give you an idea, a European coin. Can you see what the picture is? It's a woman riding a beast. Here's a stamp by the EU Parliament. Woman riding a beast. Statue outside of the European Union building in Brussels. Woman riding the beast. A German EU telephone card. We'll see this one quickly. Good morning, Europe, from the big newspaper. It says, Der Spiegel, woman riding the beast. Now, there is another story that circulated in Europe that this goddess Europa that was being deceived by Zeus, and Zeus fell in love with the beauty of Europa, and he transformed himself into a beautiful white bull. And he was so beautiful, and so he came and laid down by Europa and some of the maidens, and he was so beautiful and everything that they came over and got acquainted with him. And then once they were close, he grabbed her and off he went, and he stole her, and she became his. And so they say, oh, that's really what it is. But when you look at the other symbolism around the EU, it's not Europa at all. It's taken right from the Bible. So many things. I don't want to take the time to go into all of it. Okay, that was a YouTube clip that I told you about. Now, you've probably all seen this picture, artist's conception of the Tower of Babel and what they thought it was like before it completely fell as they were building higher and higher to the Lord. But it's interesting that a poster depicting the UN would pick up that same theme. And it says, Europe, many tongues, one voice. And yet they've picked up the very Tower of Babel. What happened to our American heritage? What was it? We began to compromise, and as soon as we compromised, we lost the sacredness of our heritage because we compromised. We run presidents four times and breaks the Constitution. We do things today to this little parking meter. It's unconstitutional. There's no such thing in the Bible. It's against the Constitution, yet we do it. We do all kinds of things that's against the principles of this nation was founded upon. So we lose our heritage because why? We compromise upon the principles that it was based on. Now, how about the church? Same thing. So now, what would have saved America? He says, if the churches today would only recognize, if the churches would only recognize the word of God that's made this promise for this hour to the people, they wouldn't perish. If America could only recognize the Constitution that she drawed up, she wouldn't be willing to take Bibles out of the school and take the name of God off the coins, the Pledge of Allegiance under God. But she doesn't recognize it. Why? She's blind, naked. She can't recognize the blood of those precious boys that died on the field for the privilege that they are forgotten. They are dust. Invasion of America. But let me tell you, when Mr. Roosevelt, three or four terms, and taken over just a preliminary dictatorship, I can prove to you that in the scripture where that said it would take place, that's right, I haven't got no more constitution, she's broke to pieces. May 1954, he already said it was broken. Preliminary dictatorship, preliminary dictionary definition, something that precedes, prepares for, or introduces the main matter, action, or business. Preliminary dictatorship. Executive orders. I've just got to get this to you. Forgive me for keeping you so long. This one was written under President Reagan. It sets an order to break up the United States into 10 federal regional councils within the 50 states. Then Nixon added that the 10 federal regionals would be under federal governance, and he broke it into sub-regions. Our Ohio happens to be in Region 5, and our sub-region capital is Chicago. And I'll read some more executive orders to you. I got these out of R. Scott Gioberti's recent book on 1 million deaths and a black man. So they're kind of shocking. Let me just read you a few of them. I I'm skipping some here that are not quite so dynamic. There's some really good ones in here. For example, President Clinton, under one of his executive orders, he signed hundreds of executive orders. If you don't know what that is, that's just when the president bypasses everybody, says, I want this done. He signs an executive order. And unless the Congress gets a very big, big vote, they can't stop it. It just goes right on through. So he designated 1.7 million acres of southern Utah as a Escalante National Monument. Didn't ask the state about it, nothing, just did it. And then he designated the American Heritage Rivers river system, which places the rivers under the Army Corps of Engineers to watch over it. And he did all that kind of quietly while the world was all caught up in that war that he jumped into in Yugoslavia. Okay, I won't read the numbers to you, but I could. First one I'll read, that under an executive order, this is already in place, that whenever the government wants to move, this is authority is already given them. They will seize all communication media. They will seize all electrical power and fossil fuels. Another one, they will seize all food sources, farms, and farm equipment. How about that? They will seize all transportation and control all highways and seaports. They will seize all civilians for work under federal supervision. They will do a federal takeover of health, education, and welfare. And each one of these is an executive order number, like this one is 11,002, the number, authorizes FEMA to order the Postmaster General to register every man, woman, and child in the United States. 1103, seizure of all aircrafts and airports. 1104, housing and finance given authority for population relocation. Seizure of all railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities. The director of the Office of Emergency Planning is authorized to put executive orders into effect in the time of increased internal tension, and is also to perform additional duties as the president may direct. It gives just overriding power to the leader of FEMA. They can override other laws, like having to do with the environment and species and all that stuff. They can step right over it in time of emergency and do whatever they want to do. And then also, so the one that was kind of surprising to me was the Homeland Security gal is, in time of emergency, is virtually given authority to do whatever she wants to do that she thinks is necessary for controlling the population and keeping everything secure. And there is no designation whether it's toward an enemy or an American citizen. No designation. That was changed years ago when one of the first ones came out, that our armies and guard would protect our American citizens and against all enemies. And then they moved a little bit later to that they would protect the nation against all aggressors, including American civilians. So the whole thing is there. Brother Branham says we are virtually under dictatorship. Potentially we are, they're just waiting. So the last subject, you may remember Y2K. Now when Y2K came about and the big threat of all the computers were going to shut down in the year 2000, I really didn't think anything was going to happen. You remember, I preached a little sermon on it. But I bought a pump for my well anyway, just in case the electricity went off. But I felt that it's kind of like the head of the Jenkins tribe out there. I better be ready. I felt responsible, so I took care of it. But now the next one is that I really think we need to consider a source of food, because I think it's going to be a coming thing. I always overdo it. That was my tomatoes. But there's my chicken coop that I've been in the process of building. And I've got all kinds of designations here. The nest boxes and the roosts and trays to catch the droppings and double doors on each side open up so I can clean it easy, and single man door on each end so I can go in and out either end to keep it clean. And so I think we need to prepare all the way around. I'm expecting things to get very, very tight, and I'm expecting that as a body of believers that we're going to end up helping each other a lot. And so I think all these things we need to think ahead, especially the head of each house, to consider what might I do to be prepared if everything goes absolutely bad, which I really believe it's going to. How quick, I don't know. But I think we need to consider those things, because I think a little bit of effort now, it may turn out to be nonsense at this time, is better than a little bit later looking back and saying, I wish I had. I would rather make a mistake on the safe side than on the neglect side. So I think we need to pray about it and seek God about it, and what would you have me to do, and prepare in every way we can. And watch your finances. Don't believe most stock market prognosticators. They're going to take you in the wrong direction. And our currency is going to absolutely lose its value. So I don't know to tell you what to do with money. Again, I don't have to worry about that. I got any anyway. So, but some of you do. And so you need to think about what to do with it. And the rich question, have you had any of these new laws thrown at you yet? New regulations or no? Yeah, nothing forced on you yet? No? Okay, good. Good, I'm glad to hear that. Because that's not true with everybody. Like, we already know the story about Ford and what's going on with them. So the big boys are getting hurt first, and then it'll be a trickle-down effect. Thank you for bearing with me, saints. It was on my heart, and wanted to get it off my heart. I won't bring you through the political shenanigans again, but I just felt that it was impressive to me how quick things are turning, and I wanted to just share it with you in case you hadn't caught the direction everything's going in its fullness. Let's have a word of prayer, and Brother Tom, would you mind coming up? Musicians, Heavenly Father, thank you for the people bearing with me on a long one. I got it off my heart. And God, just you're the wisdom that we depend on. We take things into our own hands. We certainly mess up, but we know that by prayer and waiting on you, you'll guide us exactly what to do and which way to go. And so we rest, Lord. Remember, we're just dumb sheep. We look to the great shepherd to take care of us and guide us along the way. But we also know that you told your prophet told us, Lord, that if God wants to get a message to the people, he'll give it to the elder, and the elder will give it to the people. So we'll listen tentatively, Lord, to see what you may tell us through our pastor. We commit it all to you, resting, Lord, not anxious, absolutely resting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Lonnie. You know, all the things that we've heard the message say over the years come to pass. I thought it would be here before now, but it's everything has to be in order, and there's a right time for everything. I'm so glad what the message has shown us in this hour that we can know. And I'm grateful to God tonight that we can hear and know what we know. For millions out there doesn't know. But the Lord is blessed and made a way for us to hear. We are to love him more and more, appreciate him with all of our heart. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. second verse, amen. Hear the call and
Just to know the Lord.